Thailand is a popular tourist destination, so it's a good destination for our geoquiz as well. But while most tourists head for Bangkok or the beaches of Phuket, we're heading to one of Thailand's northern provinces. It's best known for its ceramics factories, national parks, and especially its elephant conservation center. It's the perfect place for an animal psychologist to study cooperation and problem solving on a large scale.
And these are capacities that we always used to think were uniquely human, but in fact, it turns out they're not. And so by studying species such as elephants, we get a greater understanding of how intelligence evolved.
We'll hear more about elephant intelligence later in a few minutes when we come back with the name of that northern Thai province. I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Back to our geoquiz now, and we're looking for a little cooperation. In this case, we want to find out how it is that elephants lend a helping trunk to each other. Joshua Plotnick has been studying that. He's in the Department of Experimental Psychology at the University of Cambridge, England. And Joshua, before we get into the elephant psyche, where do you find elephants willing to cooperate with you for your research?
Great question. We went to a Thai government conservation center. It's actually called the Thai Elephant Conservation Center in Lampang, which is a northern province in Thailand.
Okay, Lampang is the answer to our geoquiz. It's in northern Thailand, as Joshua just told us. Now, we know that elephants are very social animals, and as such, they tend to cooperate. What were you trying to determine with your study?
Elephants are cooperative. That's something we've known for centuries, actually. And 50 years of field research tells us that elephants are empathetic. They pay attention to family members in the wild that have fallen down and need to be lifted up. Two elephants will get on either side and actually prop them up. They mourn their dead. They show complex sociality. But what we really wanted to look at in this study is, what do elephants actually understand about how cooperation works? Cooperation is relatively common in the animal kingdom. Everything from ants and honeybees to lions on the savannah cooperate. But most of these species are probably not processing what's actually going on. And this study we designed to really look at what elephants actually can think and understand about cooperation.
Okay, so what is the experiment that you set up then, so that you now know, or maybe perhaps you don't know yet, that elephants know they're helping, that they're cooperating, that they're empathetic?
So we took two elephants. We actually took 12 elephants from the Thai Elephant Conservation Center and put them in six pairs. And the elephants are released to a table that's out of their reach. And through the table is fed a single rope, so that both ends of rope are available. Each end of rope is available to one elephant. If one piece of rope is picked up without the other one, the rope becomes unthreaded from the table. So two elephants need to pick up both ends of rope and coordinate their pulling to retrieve the table. Initially, the elephants were released to the ropes, and we train them, when you see a rope, pull a rope. So we taught them, you pick up this rope, you pull it, it makes the table come towards you. And then we released two elephants together, and they had to learn to pull together. The real test came when we released one elephant before the partner. So the elephant got to the rope and had to learn, without training, that the rope would become unthreaded if they pulled without their partners. They had to actually wait. So they'd hold the rope and wait till the partner arrived and then pull. In an additional condition, to really look at, not only do the elephants know they need a partner, but do they know that their partner actually needs to be helping them? We removed the rope from the partner and we coiled it at the base of the table. The idea here being that when the two elephants reach the table, or the net which prevents them from actually touching the table itself, one elephant will have a rope, the other will not. The elephant that has the rope, what all of our elephants did was they'd pick up the rope and hold it. The partner would be standing there trying to find a rope. They'd give up, walk away from the apparatus, and the elephant holding the rope would do the same, which showed that they realized not only did they need a partner to be there, but their partner actually needed to be helping.
It's a little complicated to visualize. Do you have a video of this anywhere?
Sure.
Okay, we'll post those online at theworld.org. Now, did you find any situations where the elephants actually started competing with each other for this rope, almost like a tug of war?
Good question. Competition in elephants is something we certainly could test. It's actually something that they look at quite carefully in chimpanzees and bonobos, two great ape species, to look at whether or not they're cooperating and competing. Do they cooperate more with friends versus non-friends? In elephants, that's a bit difficult because in natural social groups, the elephants are quite closely bonded. They're usually related family members. And to create a situation where we had competition between the elephants would probably be dangerous. We did find things that I think were really interesting, in that we'd have the elephants kind of adjust their behavior based on their partner. So one elephant, Nauna, a young five-year-old, she actually learned on her own. We didn't train her on this. I don't need to pull the rope at all. All I need to do is take my foot, put it on the rope and make my partner Alina do all the work, which means she's quite smart, although I would say quite selfish as well.
Right. Now, as you said, it's not exactly news that elephants cooperate. I mean, I guess any casual visitor to a zoo will know that elephants they've seen there generally work together to accomplish tasks. But what's interesting about you, Joshua, is that you're known as a comparative psychologist, and you're working with somebody who studies birds. So you're actually working with two mindsets, birds and elephants. What are the similarities?
Yeah, I mean, I started my research actually with chimpanzees, and now we've moved towards comparing birds and elephants. And typically the species considered at the top of the food chain in terms of intelligence are the great apes, which includes chimpanzees, bonobos, orangutans, and gorillas, dolphins, elephants, and the corvid family of birds, which includes crows, ravens, rooks, magpies. These are the species that people typically kind of group into the group of most intelligent species. Clearly, we study non-human primates like the great apes and monkeys because we want to have a better understanding of how humans evolved. Those are our closest living relatives. Obviously, elephants, dolphins, and the corvids are not, but they're showing remarkably human-like behavior, you could say, cooperation, problem-solving. Some of these species showing empathy or the ability to emotionally put yourself in another's shoes. And these are capacities that we always used to think were uniquely human, but in fact, it turns out they're not. And so by studying species such as birds and elephants and comparing the behavior we're seeing in these species, we can get a greater understanding of how intelligence evolved.
And Joshua, what does the future hold for elephant populations in Thailand? Are they endangered there?
Yeah, in Thailand, the situation is a bit sticky in that we have about 2,500 elephants left in the wild in Thailand and about 2,500 to 3,000 left in captivity. The main problem is that there isn't a lot of land, a lot of habitat for these animals, one of the bigger problems for any endangered species in any country. And what we see quite often is what we call human-elephant conflict, where an elephant will leave a national park and raid crops on a farmer's land and then go back to the national park. And that creates problems, obviously, not only for the elephants, but for the farmers. So the work that we're trying to do, although it's focused on evolution of intelligence and cognition, also kind of plays a role in conservation, we hope, in that the development of kind of mitigating protocols to help deal with human-elephant conflict could take into account what elephants actually need, what they want, what they think, how they cooperate, how they solve problems. Because the more we understand about how elephants process information, the more likely we are to come up with really comprehensive human-elephant conflict solutions.
Give us an illustration of what you see as a good human-elephant kind of relationship solution.
It's a great question. Certainly in terms of the wild populations, right now there are a lot of protocols in place, everything from coming up with fences that keep elephants out. Sometimes they use spices on the fences because the elephants don't like it. But most of these plans, and many of them are working quite well, coming up with corridors. So you create a situation where the elephants actually can go from one national park to another without going through farmer croplands. If we can kind of take these plans, which are working well, and include aspects of what we're learning about the elephant's intelligence and their ability to cooperate with one another and solve problems, and really kind of put yourself in the mind of the elephant, which is what we'd kind of like to do, we might be able to kind of create better plans that the elephants will successfully be able to participate in. Unfortunately, the numbers are so low. 2,500 in the wild is quite staggering. I think that we really need to quickly come up with plans that are working. And these plans need to take into account both the needs of the humans and also the needs of the elephants.
Joshua Plotnick, a comparative psychologist studying elephants at the Thai Elephant Conservation Center in Lampong, Thailand, the answer to our GeoQuiz today. Joshua, very nice to speak with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.